The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, DMV. I hope you're enjoying today's weather. If you missed any show, look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. On Spotify, simply look for Eric Stewart Shows and you'll find Pointing You Home and Senior Solutions. You can sponsor, subscribe, or otherwise follow us so you know what is going on every week. You can listen to us in the car that way while you're jogging or otherwise. And if you want to Google us, just Google Eric Stewart Group on Google. Getting away, planning a weekend in Virginia or Philadelphia, or checking out a new shopping or entertainment complex, this is that time of year. You know, in Virginia's heartland, near Longwood University and Hampton Sydney College, Hotel Wayanoke, I believe I've got that right, sits in the center of Farmville, which is a college town that has an abundance of small-town charm. And just opened last May, the 70-room boutique hotel occupies a historic building and a new Cumberland wing. Now, what makes this nice is its proximity to the beach, the water, the college town, and just a way to get away from it all. You can walk, bike, take a few block trek on your skateboard if you're so nimble. It's a great time to get away. French Mediterranean restaurant opens at Pike and Rose that's turning heads, called Julie, J-U-L-I-I. Singing enthusiastically, Chef Sasha Felixson maneuvers a cart through the narrow pathways of Julie, which is a small French Mediterranean bistro, so you get a song and you get a nice meal.
Sure, if I had the wings of a swallow.
There's a new pilot program bringing books to a barbershop on Lee Highway. Get this, James Moore, who opened his shop. It's called Mr. Moore's Barbershop. He's piloting a new program pairing kids coming in for haircuts with free books. Love the idea. Thinking about getting your kid a haircut? Maybe introduce him to reading at the same time at Mr. Moore's haircut shop. Takeshi Sushi and Ramen is now open in Courthouse. I covered this a month and a half ago or so. If you're in Courthouse, try the tastes and wonders of Takeshi Sushi and Ramen when you're out for a time with your family. Also, Arlington Rooftop Bar and Grill, open daily 11 to 8 p.m. if you're interested in getting a bite to eat but want to get a view at the same time.
Poison Ivy, yeah, yeah.
You've heard about Ivy City? Well, I had neither. Ivy City is an area that is rapidly gentrifying in Washington, D.C. They're trying to preserve a sense of community. Now, what that implies in this title from an article that came out of the Washington Post is it implies that regentrification eliminates a sense of community. Now, why would that be? Well, certainly when you have new families coming in, it changes the overall feel and look of a neighborhood just by virtue of new faces, families or otherwise. It doesn't really matter. The transformation that Washington, D.C. has been going through for the last 20, 25 years has been nothing short of spectacular. And Ivy City is just one of those areas which, if you've lived there for a long time, you feel like things were a certain way. Now, 35 years ago, it was a bad red light district, and no one came around there for anything other than the red light district, if you understand my meaning. You had to show your ID to come into the community because the homicide rate was so high. So I don't know that that's the kind of community that they're trying to preserve, right? It's more about the community of the feel around it. Now, Douglas Development bought the defunct Hecht Warehouse building down there in 2011 and has converted that vast Art Deco structure into 335 luxury apartments with amenities including a rooftop dog park in case you have a very finicky dog that wants to have a view while running around barking. And there's also a basement speakeasy, which means, as far as I'm concerned, a speakeasy is a place where you might have a jazz bar and a guy playing piano with a bowler hat on late into the evening. I don't know. But, hey, it's a good idea to have a sense of community wherever you are. And how you create that is by creating lifestyle living like that, having a dog park on the rooftop, having a speakeasy, having apartments where there is a workout facility nearby, where there are restaurants nearby, there's ease of community in transportation and communication.
We're the new generation.
There's a new wave of millennial home buyers that are setting the stage for a tighter starter home market. Now, in my meeting with my real estate team, because as many of you know, I've been running a real estate team now for 32 years. I'm licensed in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, and we have offices in all three locations. And many of you have given us your business when it's come time to sell or purchase real estate. And for that, I'm extremely grateful. My wife, my family, and I were all thankful for that. And we have turned much of what we are profiting into developing widow care to serve widows and widowers here in the DMV. In fact, widow care is going to have an event at the Diana Ross concert on the 27th, where we're having 50 to 60 widows and widowers who are going to come out to hear Diana Ross. It's all been provided by one of our sponsors. We're so grateful. If you are a widow or widower and want to get more information on widow care and be a part of what widow care is, go to widowcare.org. In my meeting with my real estate team, I was reporting on the tariffs with Mexico and a couple of the major accomplishments that came out of the negotiation between the Trump administration and the Mexican government. Primarily by forcing the Mexican government with a 5% tariff threat to come to the table to address this wave of immigrants who are coming into our country without proper authorization prior to coming in. By forcing the Mexican government to address the issue on their southern border with Guatemala by bringing 6,000 of their own troops there, and then for them to identify themselves as a safe third country, a place where asylum seekers would have to actually get approval from Mexico before they walk through their country, that will stem a lot of the flow that comes from middle Central American countries. And God bless them. I mean, I know Honduras and El Salvador. I was in Honduras for a month on a mission trip when I was in my 20s, and at that time, it was a fairly safe place to live, but there are people I know who were kidnapped in El Salvador that were, I know people that have been murdered, actually, unfortunately, in El Salvador. I know of people in Honduras who've suffered the same fate. There is a lot of unrest and a lot of violence, and I would feel the same way if my family were living in Central America. I would want to get out of Central America, or I would want my government to do more to eradicate the corruption and the violence. So the challenge is, you know, we've got human compassion, and by the way, this is going to tie into our whole state of the economy, interest rates, and so on. I'll get there in just a moment. But by threatening a tariff financially, it would have put a burden on the backs of Americans. We would have to pay more for those mirrors that we import from Mexico if we had gone through with this. In Mexico, cars would cost us more and so on. But Mexicans also would have felt the same way. By bringing their attention to our challenge, which is Americans, we have a border on the southern side of America where we've allowed hundreds of thousands of migrants to cross through. Just over 100,000 last month crossed into America. These people are being placed in small towns on the borders, on the border of our country in Mexico. They're being placed in the 5,000, 10,000 range, and the burden is then on those towns to have to address feeding, caring for, addressing, and providing. Their economies are affected. Our government's economy, the cost of providing for those people, rests on the back of all Americans. So by creating Mexico as a safe third country, Mexico now has to address the migrants themselves rather than them walking through Mexico, walking into our country, and then we have to address them. But furthermore, one of the major decisions that I believe has come out of this resolution of the terror threat is that as we have immigrants crossing into America, Mexico has agreed to receive them back quickly. And while they're going through a process of applying for citizenship or visa permits to come into the country. If you think about it, what's happened? We have migrants who've come into America. They come into the southern border. They are in our country. We're not allowed to put them back because of current agreements with Mexico. Well, that's changing. What does this have to do with real estate? Well, in a small way, if you think about the 15 to 20 million Americans who are here, who've come into America without the authority of the American government who've snuck into our country from one reason or another, sometimes for safety reasons, just sometimes for economic or whatever. For those American citizens who've come into the country, they're living here and enjoying the benefits of our country, though they're not necessarily identified. Yet we are providing for them. If we were to continue to add and increase the numbers at 100,000 per month or 150,000 per month, all of a sudden after the end of the year, we have another 1.8 million new Americans who are not documented living in our country that we have to provide for. We have to provide schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if that's what you want to do and that's what you want to vote for, that's fine. But here's the economic challenge. It puts brakes on the overall economy. It puts brakes on the opportunities that our people could have by giving those opportunities to others at a lower wage. Sure, it makes it more affordable for us, but it actually takes away the opportunity for our country. And as a result, we have less employment than we could even have right now by having more and more and more folks come into our country and slip into our economy under the radar. Now, we've got a millennial homebuyer group that wants to buy real estate. And how does this tie in? Think about it. We are in a shortage of supply of homes. We have a shortage of supply of affordable properties here in America. We need the houses that we have for the Americans who actually live here, and they're having to fight. And you look at the cities and you look at the cost of living. I have a son in L.A., and my son is paying $700 a month. He and three other guys each pay that amount to live in a very small apartment set up there. Now, it's all they can afford to live in. It's small. It's not the American dream. Millennial homebuyers are now coming into the market, which is going to set the stage for a tighter starter home market. Interest rates have dropped further, which means refinances will increase, which will increase the level of home keeping of existing homeowners. How's that going to impact you? That's next on Pointing You Home.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
I saw a movie last summer called Ready Player One. I read the book. It's a great book. The movie was directed by Spielberg. They made some changes to the story, which I didn't really like, but the story was well told just the same for Hollywood through the movie. It's set in the future America. It's set at a time when cities are no longer what they have been historically. They become cities of like Winnebagos that are just placed on top of one another. They're called the stacks. And essentially, people, there's no more housing like there has been in the past. There's a place called the stacks where you have a stack of Winnebagos, one on top of the other. They're held together with metal bars. It paints a picture that's fairly bleak of how difficult it is to live in the future and actually have a home to live in. The people live in their cars. Look, we're not too far away from that, potentially, if we don't arrest the problem that we have now, which is we don't have enough supply of homes for the number of buyers who are looking, and that's going to continue to be exacerbated. And as I related in the last segment, we have a host of folks who are coming in who are also going to need housing who don't have permission to be here. So, you know, politically, this is not meant to be left or right. This is really meant to say this is an economic issue where we have 15 to 20 million Americans who are here that have come in and are living here. And for the most part, many of them are just going to be here for the rest of their lives. But if we don't stem the flow of that, we're going to have to provide more and more housing for a population of immigrants coming into America when we don't have enough supply for the Americans we have and will have. Case in point, it's getting harder for millennials to buy their first houses now. Nearly 45 million Americans will reach the typical age for first-time homebuyers within the next 10 years. Listen to that carefully. 45 million Americans are going to reach that typical age for first-time purchase in the next 10 years. That's 3.1 million more than the last decade. And that does not even include those that I've just mentioned to you who are here that are not legally here. So this creates a stumbling block in an already challenging real estate market. If you think about it, how are we going to tackle the need for housing. Is it going to be single family, rural estates any longer? You and I know the answer to that question. The answer is no. Sure, you can buy a farm in the middle of Iowa. And you can live, and you can buy a decent piece of ground, and you can live 2 to 3 hours from, you know, a citywide, you know, setup where you have to travel a great distance to come into town. You can afford to do that. But in terms of having the amenities of a city, you're going to be looking at condominium ownership. And at some point, you're going to have one condominium building after another, after another, after another, and apartments and apartments and apartments. You've got 45 million Americans who are going to need houses over the next 10 years. You know, our average production of new homes is 2 to 3 million a year. So there's a 15 million production gap over the next 10 years. Where are those folks going to go? Well, you tell me. You answer that question. I would really like to hear from you. If you have an opinion for me about where those homebuyers might go, I want you to send it to me at eric@ericstewartgroup.com. And we'll bring that back on a future show. Do you have any idea how much air you breathe every day? You ever thought about this? How much air do you actually intake into your lungs on a daily basis? It's 2,500 gallons of air every day. Now, if you're inside of a building, breathing the air that the building is bringing in, do you happen to know the quality of the air that's coming into your lungs? How well it's ventilated in the building that you're in? This is a new frontier, folks, for making your house healthy. The EPA is citing that indoor air quality is one of the top five environmental risks to public health. My son from L.A., my son was flying back on an airplane to his sister's graduation from college in Boston a few weeks ago. He developed a little cough, probably from the flight, being indoors. When he got to the graduation, he was coughing a little bit. By the end of the weekend, he was really not feeling well at all. By Monday, he had a slight fever. Tuesday, went to the local clinic where they gave him a steroid shot and some amoxicillin to try to kill the bacterial infection. Well, guess what? He actually got a very contagious but very common form of rhinovirus, a viral rhinovirus, right? So you can't attack it with an antibiotic. It's a virus. You have to let it run its course. Well, it turned, and it began to attack his heart. And within a week, he was admitted to the hospital, in the ICU, medevac to a heart clinic, University of Maryland Baltimore Hospital, which, by the way, I would say very, very good things about. They have done an excellent job. They did an excellent job. He was there in critical care for 4 days. And he survived, but not without a lot of struggles. And where did it start? It started with the quality of the indoor air in that plane. Based upon incubation periods, that's what we're told. So there's a good example. Now, he's going to take a month or two to recover from that, and hopefully he has no permanent heart damage. But you get the picture, right? If the quality of the air in your home is in your control, you can control it by controlling the windows being opened or putting in proper HEPA filters. But if you're in a building all day working, take some time, maybe do a test, and think about the quality of the air you breathe. It may save your life.
I'm going back someday, come what may, to Blue Bayou.
Rich millennials are buying vacation homes before their starter ones. Yeah, there are three things that you should consider before you buy one, though, a financial expert has suggested. Some rich millennials are buying vacation homes because it's too expensive to buy in the cities where they live. So instead, they're focusing their attention on places that they could be living in as a second home while they rent currently. Three reasons why: they frequent a certain area, could be a beach, mountains, or otherwise, a place where they plan to retire, or they just want some rental income, which they might get through Airbnb or VRBO rentals. And I said this last week when I told you the story about the second home that I bought in Galveston, Texas, that turned me into a long-term landlord with a lot of pain and suffering. They come with a lot of caveats, especially if you're near the beach. If you own property near the beach, if you're on the water, you know what I'm talking about. The salt in the air brings a lot of degradation and quality to the exterior of your home, a lot of maintenance. Be sure you qualify your reasons and understand The downsides of buying a second home before you buy your first. If you buy an old house, there are actually five good reasons why you might want to consider it. Number one is they're cheaper than new houses because there's an implied maintenance factor that doesn't always mean that you have a lot of maintenance. Sometimes a home can be like an old car where it's had all the basic bones replaced over time, and now it's just going to kind of run on all the replacements that have already been done, and you might get away with not having to do a lot of maintenance other than basic paint. Old homes typically have better quality construction unless they were built by headlight, as many homes were built in the 1980s. Old homes are often in established locations, so they provide convenience. Old homes have more character sometimes, and the lot size tends to be larger with older houses, so you get a little more space there. Real quick warning on solar panels and Solar City, folks. Be careful of Solar City. One of our clients is selling a property. Solar City, you cannot get a hold of anybody at Solar City and get a response from them if you send them an email to the requisite place. And if you call them, you go to their voicemail system for their transfer person. We're trying to transfer the sale of a property from the owner to the new owner. We can't get an answer. We cannot get the transfer taken care of. If you work at Solar City, I'd appreciate your assistance in the matter. This is kind of ridiculous. Solar City is owned by Tesla now. If you are with Tesla, if you could reach out to me and help me with this, I would be grateful for my client's sake. My client needs to sell the property, has a system on their roof, which is under a lease. It's not owned by him. He has to pay off the lease over time. The new owner is going to take the lease over from the existing owner, but we can't have that happen unless we have Solar City's cooperation in the matter. Sticky wicket, if you're thinking about getting solar panels, regardless of who you think you might get them from, be sure to reach out with me with any questions you have about that process. Even if you're not selling, shoot me an email and I'll tell you what I know. Eric@ericstewartgroup.com. Well, we have run out of pointing you home fast today. Thank you. Common types of dementia, from Alzheimer's, and why you might be able to retire earlier than you think, straight ahead.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.